The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
There are not many movies that get legal action threatened against them by a presidential candidate in the US, and there are not many movies that get the kind of consensus of approval from the critics that The Apprentice has received. Here's a sense of it.
Yes, hello, Judy. This is Donald Trump. I'm very excited. Very excited to talk to you.
Be excited.
Donald, now that the lawsuit is behind you, what do you want to do next?
Well, I intend to acquire the Commodore, and I'm planning on making it the best and the finest building in the city. Maybe the country. In the world. Judy, in the world, it's going to be the finest building in the world. It's going to be a spectacular hotel. Absolutely spectacular. First class. And
that sounds very ambitious. Where do you get the drive? Still so young, Donald.
I got flair and I'm smart, so I think that's going to make me successful. But I also want to stay humble.
So that's Donald Trump, or rather, that's the fictionalized version of Donald Trump. And the whispering is from a man called Roy Cohn. If you're unfamiliar, Roy Cohn was one of the lead attorneys for the McCarthy hearings and, quotes, investigations, and was widely regarded as one of the most reprehensible people in, I was going to say the city, the world, perhaps might be a better way to look at it. And he's being played by Jeremy Strong, who played Kendall Roy in Succession. It is regarded as a fabulous piece of casting. And as I say, the movie's getting great reviews. The movie, catalyzed by two Irish producers, Ruth Tracy and Julianne Ford, both of them from Tailored. Let's start, Julianne. The original genesis of this came from where?
Well, basically the project came to us at the Cannes Film Festival. Actually, it was my business partner, Ruth, that met with Dan Beckerman at a networking event for co-production between Ireland and Canada.
How long ago was this?
This was at the Cannes Film Festival in 2023, so May 2023.
So a year and a half ago is when this, not even a year and a half, less than a year and a half ago is when the whole idea started.
Well, no, that's when our involvement came to the table, basically, because the project had been in development for a long time before we came to the table, but there was a missing piece of finance that they were looking for at the co-production market. So the film is an official co-production with Canada, Denmark and Ireland, and Ireland was the last part of that puzzle, basically.
So the Irish are, we were the critical catalyst as a nation to really annoying Donald Trump, essentially.
You could phrase it like that. I'm not sure we would, but we were definitely, when Ireland came on board, it made the film finally possible and closed the finance, basically.
Tricky film to get made, I would imagine, because you know you're going to face issues as to whether or not this is not election interference, but is it appropriate during election? I saw Jeremy Strong himself saying that it very nearly got banned in the US. Did you have any trepidation, Ruth, in taking it on?
No, I mean, I think for us, the most exciting element when, so Daniel Beckerman is the Canadian lead producer on the project, and he pitched it essentially as the origin story of Donald Trump, directed by Ali Abbasi, who had directed amazing films like Border and Holy Spider. Very controversial, but incredibly impactful films. So as soon as he mentioned those two things, like, we were immediately hooked and wanted to be part of it or find out more, essentially. So we were never afraid of the risk. We always knew that Ali was going to, you know, give a really interesting spin on a story such as this from an outsider's perspective. But I think, so we didn't have any trepidation getting involved, but it was very interesting for us to realise how difficult it had been to finance and how long that journey had been for them prior to us getting involved. Because I think in the US, the financing system is very different to Europe. And, you know, there is really just commercial money. There's no film funds. And so there was always a reticence from people to get involved in something about Trump. And so that's why it required international partners. And that's followed through to, I guess, like, distributors backing away from it when it was played at Cannes, because they were too nervous to essentially get involved in something that Trump could come back and damage their company with if he was elected. So there was almost preemptive censorship once it played at Cannes, which was very interesting. We didn't expect that level of, preemptive censorship, because in a country that prides itself on being, you know, freedom of speech and democracy, that was really interesting to see.
That's interesting. So there was a sort of a chilling effect of fear of punishment were he elected.
Absolutely, without a doubt. You know, the film played incredibly well at Cannes. It got like a 10-minute standing ovation. There was great responses to it. The performances were widely praised. But we also received a cease and desist letter from Trump, coinciding with the Cannes Film Festival, which essentially, categorised the film as election interference. So that coupled with, well, that kind of triggered a few things to happen. Firstly, distributors backed away, even though they had, you know, privately told everyone that they loved the film. They backed away because for fear of the legal repercussions and what he had done to some other large organisations when he came to power. But secondly, it also struck further fear into one of our US financiers who had put money into the film. And this has kind of been reported recently as well. But they had links somewhat in their own background funding to the pro-Trump campaign. So they immediately wanted to try and block the film from coming out, or they wanted to change a number of really key scenes in the film in order to release it, which we refused to do. And so there was a long battle to get it released. You know, the fact that it's being released is success in itself, because we really, up until kind of 4 weeks ago, even less, well, 4 weeks, no, I guess the end of August, just before Telluride Film Festival, we didn't know if it would ever see the light of day, quite honestly.
Ironic, given that the campaign and the candidate so attached themselves and himself to the First Amendment.
Absolutely, I know. It's staggering, really, that the US, you know, that this is what happens in the US right now, that people are that scared of the repercussions. And, you know, that the distributors backed away so much, and it was just one brave distributor, Briarcliff, who kind of really believed in the project and kind of have been helping us with the US release and kind of doing a great job. So, yeah, that was the most interesting element of the whole process, because we thought that it would come more from Trump himself, but he's been very quiet, to be honest.
If one of the major achievements was getting it onto the big screen at all, the other has to be the casting, the combination of Sebastian Stan and Jeremy Strong. When did they become attached?
Ruth can speak to this a little bit more than me, to be honest.
Well, Sebastian has actually been involved for quite a long time. In fact, I think he and Ali have been talking about the project since, I guess, like 3 or 4 years ago. So he was always attached, and he was all in, you know, and he's an incredibly brave and dynamic actor. Jeremy Strong got involved earlier last year. And it was amazing news when he got involved. But Sebastian, I mean, they've been trying to make this film, as Julianne said, for like 5 or 6 years. So there was a lot of stop start. And Sebastian himself talks about last year, I think it tried to start a few times, and he kept trying to put on weight to play the role and like eat loads of burgers and drink Coca-Cola. And then suddenly, you know, it would stop and he had to lose the weight for Marvel. So, you know, it was difficult for him as well, because there was no kind of flow into the role.
Now, will one of you explain the period of Trump's life that this focuses on, and why it focuses on both that period and the relationship with Roy Cohn?
Yeah, so it focuses on the late 70s through to mid 80s. So a very specific period of Trump's career,
I guess. A formative period?
Very formative. You know, essentially he was working for his dad, kind of in his dad's shadow, Fred Trump, really keen to make a name for himself, felt constantly like his dad didn't take him seriously in his business endeavours. And I think actually the interesting thing about that early period of the film is how much empathy you will feel for Trump when you see those scenes, and how, you know, he's really kind of just out there hustling, trying to make a name for himself and get ahead in business. So it's not all bad, you know, it's not all negative. But he then meets the enigmatic Roy Cohn one night.
That's a term.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess. Well, you know, he is somewhat, you know, there was kind of an allure to him in the fact that he managed to get so much done. You know, he had success, even though it was dubious. You know, he was indicted many times, but he still had success. He successfully countersued the US government a number of times. So the reason this period was chosen was essentially the name, The Apprentice. Trump became Cohn's apprentice. Essentially, he was taught that the Cohn playbook of rules, which are attack, 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 deny everything, and always claim victory. And if you look at Donald Trump now, you know, he's still using that very successfully somewhat to this day, or certainly using those three rules anyway. But yeah, that period is what was chosen because it's really the period from kind of, you know, becoming successful in business through to huge success. And by the end of the film, you can really see what that has turned him into somewhat, you know.
Well, what about that balance? Because I saw Jeremy Strong interviewed by Stephen Colbert. And one of the things they were discussing was that balance being, if you make the people caricatures, then it doesn't work as a movie. If you humanize them, is there a risk that you give people a sympathy that they might not deserve? Now, whatever about Donald Trump, Roy Cohn, in my view until this point, is one of the single most reprehensible people I have ever read about. But according to a lot of the critics, he is humanized by this. How do you handle that balance?
I mean, I don't think it's a criticism that to humanize somebody. I mean, he is a human. They're both humans. The film is not a piece of propaganda. It's, you know, a scripted drama piece of art, basically. So it shouldn't be so opinionated that you can't see both sides, like, you know. So what it really does is hold a mirror up to society, and it questions kind of the American dream and, you know, at what cost, the environment that they live in, and like how success is so valued and the toll that that takes, basically.
You talked, Ruth, earlier on about the difficulty in getting distributors for it. Now that it is starting to get the kind of purchase that it has and the kind of critical response, can you feel the momentum building?
Absolutely. In the last few weeks, there's been a huge amount of momentum in terms of, like, you know, well-known people that we really respect acknowledging it and kind of talking about it. You know,
like who? Drop a name.
Well, you know, Amy Schumer, Robert Downey Jr., Steven Spielberg apparently really enjoyed it.
That's always nice to have Spielberg. Always
nice,
enjoy it.
Yeah, exactly. They can call us anytime if they want to be in another Irish film. But we also actually flew a plane over one of his rallies last week, one of Trump's rallies in Pennsylvania, just inviting him to see the film because we'd love him to watch it, you know, and just make up his own mind. Because we actually, honestly, I think there's a lot he might like in it, let alone that Sebastian Stan is playing him, which is no bad thing. But also, you know, there is a lot of truth in it. And, you know, there is a lot to, I guess, admire, which is, you know, that's I guess, the controversial element. I think in the earlier years of his business endeavours, yes, you have to admire his tenacity in some respects and, you know, his never give up attitude. It's when it flips into the cost, as Julianne said, that takes on his personal relationships and his unrelenting quest for success at all costs, and kind of how he will, you know, discard those who are not useful to him, including within his family. That's when you see, I guess, the making of a monster. But it's really just... sorry, I know the question was about momentum, but yeah, we're thrilled with the momentum, but we do hope that, you know, it'll have a slow burn at the cinema, because I think in the US it's been released there now and it's doing well, but it's relatively modest. But the hope is that it'll stay in cinemas so that the word of mouth can spread. And obviously it's going to be released in Irish cinemas next Friday, so the 18th of October. And we're really excited about how well it might do in Europe, because I think we have a different view of Trump with a little bit of distance. I think the US are really oversaturated.
Yeah. Well, I for one can't wait to see it, given the reviews that it has been getting. That is Ruth Tracy, co-founder and producer and director at Tailored, and Julianne Ford, likewise co-founder and producer at Tailored.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.